We've all sat next to someone on a couch. Let's focus on our personal lives for a moment. We've all sat next to somebody on a couch somewhere where they're all tense and tight for whatever reason.
That was high school, wasn't
it? That was high school. No, I've got a very good story about this.
I'm sure you do.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. Those are your two options. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I am the author, actually the writer, of The Little Red Book of Selling. And to my right...
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And to her right...
My name is Mark England, and I'm one of the co-founders of Procabulary.
Can you describe for us what is Procabulary?
Procabulary is a philosophy and a methodology. The philosophy is that our identity is an ongoing, fluid, flexible process that we participate in. And we participate with our language on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, moment-to-moment. It's a process. And the methodology, the beginning of the conversation of the methodology, is our online training course, Core Language Upgrade. So what we have done is we have mapped out two subsets of the English language. And you and I talked about this earlier, Jen, and why is this important? It's very important for people to understand there's a lot more to their language than what they learned in school. Most people's education about their language comes down to three static things: spelling, grammar, and definitions, none of which address how our language engages and interacts with our imagination and our feelings and influences, for better or for worse, how and where we breathe in ourselves and the other people that we interact with, whether it's a selling environment or any other environment. And when people, they gain an understanding, generally and technically speaking, that this is going on all the time, it opens up worlds and avenues of personal and professional development.
I agree. I mean, in school, I learned grammar. It was ingrained in me to have the best grammar, spelling, all that. And we were never really taught the impact that our language has on us to ourselves,
yes,
or the impact it has on others. So how did you get into that? Did you always study language?
No, not at all. The wheels came off the bus in 2002 in Bangkok, Thailand. I was a competitive martial artist in college, mixed martial arts and kickboxing. And I'd done well enough on the amateur circuits for me to – I just had one dream and one focus, and that was to go pro. And I got presented –
the belt.
And, right?
I love the belt.
The belt. You got to get the belt, man. And my – I had two options. It was either go pro in 2002 or move to Thailand and train Thai boxing for a year and then come back and go pro. So it was either go pro or go pro. So I moved over to Thailand, small fish in a huge pond, and me and all my brilliance, I was a little bit hurt when I went over there from a recent fight, and I did not let myself rest. I had created such a, let's use the word, hard environment in my mind, a hard identity, that relaxing and having conscious, productive, down regulatory time, it was not in the conversation. So I overtrained. I just overdid it. Anyway, long story short, I had my second knee surgery over there. And the doctor, I said it in the TED Talk, the doctor said, he said, your career as a fighter is over.
Oh, how pleasant.
You can become a very good swimmer.
Yeah.
It felt like somebody hit me in the face with a ball peen hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it so badly. And he was right, by the way. I was done. I took it so badly, I didn't laugh for a year. The conversation that I created in my mind, I was having with myself, mm-hmm. was so detrimental and so negative, I couldn't get my face in a position to where I could enjoy myself, much less laugh. And I went over to Thailand with my girlfriend from college, and she was a really funny person, right? And I remember clearly she's being herself, telling jokes, and I was watching her, and I said, you know what? 6 months ago, I would have been laughing with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not laughing now. For a whole year, I was in that state till I got to a point, thank the Lord, that I was able to recognize I'm participating in this situation, and I can do this for an extended period of time. It could be another year. It could be another 30 years. And that is a massive waste of talent.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, something has to change. That something's me. I don't know what the specifics of that are. Right around the same time, I had a couple of conversations with someone who had gone. I was living in Bangkok, Thailand at the time still. I ended up staying over there for 10 years. It was our vice principal. Our vice principal had gone down and done a detox at the spa. I know you've heard about that. From Koh Samui. Or at Koh Samui. It's an island in the Gulf of Thailand. And this also dovetails in the story of how I met you all. I met my business partner to be down there, Adam Chin. Huge shout out to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
Adam,
we love you, man. It just is what it is. And that process of going down and paying a different kind of attention to myself, focusing on myself in different ways. I had no experience in the benefits of making adjustments in diet and basically making adjustments in lifestyle. And one of the main conversations down there, and I can get specific about the exact evening that changed my life,
mm-hmm.
was one about emotional health and well-being, as in the stories we create and the language that we use. A guy was doing a presentation on emotional detoxification. I thought that was the weirdest thing I ever heard. And one of my friends, he gave me the weird eyeball. He said, you need to go. And I said, all right, fine. I went, and he talked about words. He talked about stories. He talked about identities and gave some specific examples. And he said, does anyone have a story that you're all hung up about? And this woman just shot her hand right up. And she said, I said, what was the story? And 4 years ago, so her issue was that she was reluctant to get in a relationship with another guy. And the story that
never happened.
Ever.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
She went to Beach Week with her friends and him and his friends. Anyway, messy story short. He cheated on her with one of her friends and then broke up with her in front of everybody. And she was wrecked.
How pleasant.
How nice.
Yeah.
No
alcohol involved.
And never. Not at all. Totally sober. He had her go through the story. At the end of the story, it took about three and a half minutes. She was crying. She was angry with tears. Took her through that same story again, made two adjustments to the language. And now she's sad, no tears. And now that I've made those two connections, I'm leaning in. Third time, he had her change the very end. Now, she's neutral, more or less, so much so that her perspective changed. That she said, you know, that guy was weird and it was never going to work anyway. And that all happened in 10 minutes. And I said, that's not my story, but that's my story.
Yeah.
I went to the website, downloaded the thing, and that was the beginning.
Cool.
So, yes, I now pay attention to what I say and how it influences me, and I connect dots, and my life is significantly better personally and professionally because of that practice, which it absolutely is. It's a practice.
But there was a point there where it became a defining moment for you.
Yes, sir.
And you said, aha. You know, when she got to the end of the third story and it was a positive outcome, that changed everything for you mentally. You said, oh, I can – you didn't even have to tell your story.
No, I did not,
yeah.
Because I was very guarded. We had the opportunity at the end of the presentation to tell our story, and I got up and left.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yep, because I'm not sharing my story with anybody. Absolutely. I was petrified of that.
Yeah.
What I did do is go straight to the internet cafe when they had those things over there, and I downloaded the 81-page manual, and I went to work on myself. I said, I'm not talking to anyone, but I'm going to work.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I had a session this morning. I had two sessions this morning with two very lovely ladies, and one of them, we identified that paying attention to what interests us and then practicing around those interests develops skill.
Mm-hmm.
What I knew at the time was, this is interesting to me and I want to get better at it. That's all I knew.
Agreed.
I had no clue that it was going to turn into, and now for the all the right reasons, snowball into what it has. And so backing up to what I did, I from the 81-page manual, I went and bought all the DVDs that I could on this particular method of navigating and adjusting stories, making them more accurate interpretations of what happened. Okay, instead of she never lets me do what I really want to do, to she sometimes never lets me do what I want to do. Okay,
yeah.
And take out the never. She sometimes lets me do what I want to do. And then, wait a minute, I sometimes let me do what I want to do. So I've gone from an absolute externalized story to something focused in on me. Okay, much more productive of a conversation. And then I went and trained with the founder of the system, went back to the spa, and I was that same spa, it's where I met Adam, practitioner. I was essentially a counselor for thousands of people over a 5-year period of time, and just two people, two chairs, one story to navigate. And I took notes in later, about 7 years later. I met up with Adam again.
On accident?
What I was doing.
Or on purpose?
It was divine intervention.
I love that.
Because I was only supposed to be over there for 2 weeks, and I ended up staying 4 months. And in that 4 months, we went to work, and he took a look at what I was doing, and he says, okay, this is legitimate tech, as in the technique,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to change some things, and then this is a legitimate business. I said, yes, sir, let's do it. And it's been 3.5 years since then.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Very cool.
Very interesting times.
And so by changing the context of the story and changing some of the words in the story, you can get someone to reassess how they've looked at it for an extended period of time.
Yes, to their benefit, absolutely.
People, you said something earlier about ignoring interests.
Yes.
Or following your interests.
Yes.
Most people ignore those interests in favor of, I have a mortgage, I have to have this job, I'm not going to divert myself to something that I could potentially love.
Mm.
Is that fair to say?
It's exceedingly common.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they... or anyone, because it's not a personal conversation. 2 + 2 = 4. If I say I don't want to keep focusing on my past, then, or anyone says that, that language forces them to focus on the worst parts of where they've been and why, regardless of the fact that they have a sincere desire to move forward. And that's one of the many interesting parts of the conversation about negations when we explain this. The first thing my driving teacher, he taught me when I got in the car, he said, look where you want to go because you're probably going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we keep going with the car analogy. It's very good to keep in perspective and keep in mind where we've been. A lot of times it can help us generate fuel. And the rearview mirror is this big for a reason, and the windshield is that big for a reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Focus more on what you want, focus less on what you don't want, and watch what happens. Your energy level will rise. You'll have a more emotional endurances for the trials and tribulations that any kind of worthwhile endeavor will present you with. And it's a better way to navigate.
Jeffrey, I am starving. I need meat for dinner. Where do you want to go?
Any place they serve a Strasburger steak, Jen.
Strasburger Steaks has delivered quality steaks for over 150 years. The Strasburger family wants everyone to enjoy the best of American meat, which is why we're excited to give you the opportunity to bring the steakhouse to your house. Prime meat is the highest grade of meat available, meaning it has the most marbling flavor and juiciness possible. Only about 3% of meat is prime, so you know you're getting the best hand-picked and hand-cut meat for the best eating experience.
I can tell you from personal experience that Strasburger steaks are amazing. Mouth-watering, delicious. Diehards, do you want a flavorful prime New York strip steak without having to go to New York? Well, how about something that's like a bone-in or a rib steak? Come on, you can get anything you want at Strasburger, and once you've tried their steaks, there's no going back.
Are you having trouble finding a gift for someone that has it all? Why not give the gift of amazing Strasburger steaks? Weddings, anniversaries, graduations, your favorite client. How about celebrating making a sale?
Sales red meat.
Getting a Strasburger steak is a celebration.
You know, they serve the best steakhouses in New York City and around the country, and now you can have them right in your own home. Visit StrasburgerSteaks.com right now, or call them 201-842-8890. Call them right now. Come on, 201-842-8890, and celebrate with steak.
I want to break this down for our diehards, because the true power in understanding what you're talking about is actually feeling it and experiencing it. So I'm going to come up with, and Jeffrey, I would love for your help in coming up with a few different scenarios of things that salespeople say and stories that salespeople have, and we're going to throw them out to you and help us break it down, okay?
Let's do it.
So here's one. My quota is double from last year. There's no way I can achieve double the amount of sales in the same amount of time.
Okay, perfect. So I would focus on...
Oh, and they decreased my commission rate.
Perfect. We'll segment that up, that sentence out.
Okay.
And then translate it. So there's no way I can double my sales quota. So I would take out I and put in anyone.
Okay.
There's no way anyone could double my sales quota. Let's take out anyone and put in Jeffrey Gittimer. There's no way Jeffrey Gittimer could double my sales quota.
Cool.
Okay. Yes, there is, actually. And how would he do that? How would he go about doubling sales?
Mm-hmm.
How would he do it? If it's possible for him to do it, then can I do it? Okay, well, I don't quite feel like I can do it. Could I do it? Yes, I could do that. If what? And so now we identify that is a possible outcome. That is a possible positive outcome. And now I'm into process. What do I need to do in order to make it happen? What would Jeffrey do? What would anyone with legit sales training do? Okay. Write some of those things down. Very important to write down. Thoughts. Words, as you all well know.
And so do I have to rededicate myself to something? Do I have to learn something new? Do I have to not watch TV?
Potentially. Well, and probably
all of
the above.
Are you going to make me make my own game plan?
That's the cool thing.
Yes. And then it goes even further from me making you make your own game plan to you making you make your own game plan to you getting excited about making your own game plan to I make my game plan. Damn it. When I wake up in the morning and I think to myself, okay, now that I've concluded that is fact about me, I make my own game plan, what's my game plan? I'm not considering whether I can possibly, soft talk, make my own game plan. I make my own game plan, and here it is for the week, for the month, for the year, for the quarter, whatever it is.
Okay, wait, back it up. So you just mentioned something sort of under your breath that I don't think our diehards know what you're talking about. Tell us about soft talk.
How would you ask for the sale, Jen? Give me a professional asking for the sale statement.
When would you like to get started?
Do you want to hear mine?
Go for it.
I'll be your best friend.
Do you want to know how some people ask for the sale?
Yes.
Okay. Can you see yourself using this maybe possibly in the future?
I want to know why Jeffrey just took a sip of his coffee and said, oh, my God.
Well, you have to be firm in your request or you'll get meatballs for an answer.
I'm trying to set Mark up here.
Oh, I got you.
That's exactly what it is. That's the specific words of soft talk. So what is soft talk? Everybody's heard it. Maybes, likes, possiblys, I thinks.
Adverbs.
Potentially.
Adverbs.
Yes. What they do is they soften my position. And syntactically speaking, very strange, I think I might need to have a better sales process. How many I's are in that statement? I think I. Now, I've got two of me in that conversation? That's weird. Why do I need two of me to make a good decision?
I think you could really benefit from our product.
Wonderful. How much confidence and enthusiasm is that going to build in me? Actually, none. It's going to put me in the backseat. I'm going to get deflated about that. And very with just a little bit of understanding. And this is, we start conversations very frequently. We start the vocabulary experience with soft talk because it's so easy to do. A good friend of mine I met on a plane, Brian Mooka. Sat next to him. I'm reading a book on mind mapping, and he goes. He says, "What are you reading? What do you do?" And I said, "Get out a pen and write down a goal." And he did. And I asked him to put in a perhaps, a maybe, and a could. And he said, "I don't even want to do that." And I said, "Why?" Because it makes me. It gives me this weird icky feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of, back to the Core Language Upgrade, our online course, we highlight three pillars of what we call conflict language, which is the subset of the English language people, and it's an education issue again, that people use accidentally to create conflict, indecision, problems, doubt, and negativity inside themselves and in other people when they speak. And soft talk is one of them. The other is negations. I can't keep focusing on my past. I'm just not going to mess this up again. I don't want my boss to think that I'm not making sales, things of that nature.
Can you do it fast forward? Can you say this is not going to be a good day?
Absolutely. Many people project negatively.
You can predict your own outcome.
This won't be,
Sure. And let's talk abracadabra, because now's the time to talk about it.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, cool.
So when... And in my opinion, on a side note, this is the most well-recognized word on the planet, cross-culturally speaking.
I thought it was Muhammad Ali.
Well, you asked us last night, ask Doug.
Let's talk about the most recognized word on the planet. Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Muhammad Ali. And now you've added abracadabra.
Abracadabra. Abracadabra's my bet.
Cool.
Wait, let's ask Doug what he thinks.
Yeah, let's ask our, let's bring our producer.
What do you think of when you hear abracadabra, Doug?
If he says Steve Miller Band, I'm going to go nuts.
Well, now that's in my brain because I love Steve Miller Band. But I think when you hear abracadabra, you think of a magician.
Exactly.
Right.
Magic.
Pulling a rabbit out of your hat.
A rabbit coming out of a hat, a magic wand, something along the lines of magic. Everybody goes there. 1 in 100 go to Steve Miller Band. We talked about this last night.
Mm-hmm.
Abracadabra. This is huge. This changed. It put into place so many things for me. Abracadabra is Aramaic, and Aramaic is one of the languages that Jesus spoke. It's one of the languages the Old Testament was originally written in, and it translates to "with my word I create" or "with my word I influence."
That's what it means?
That's what it means.
Damn.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. And I asked that when a particular friend told me that, I said, come over here and tell me everything you know about that. And then I went and looked it up, and it's fascinatingly actually true. And so to go back to, you know, negating in our future, I don't want to have a bad day. I don't want to have a bad week next week. So what does that language force me to do? Create a worst case scenario in my mind. And when I create a worst case scenario in my mind, what happens to my emotions and feelings? We're going to go through the four things that our words influence. What does that do? Worst case scenario, I create quote unquote negativity. Over time, potentially in the moment, very frequently, my body, my posture. Have you seen somebody? You've seen plenty of people with bad posture.
Yeah, they curl up.
Yeah. Guess what kind of dialogue they're having?
Negative inside their
this
head.
This kind.
So How about I can't lose this sale?
Okay. I want to know because. I can't lose this sale because. Well, we'll get to the because. I can't lose this sale. Okay, so if you can't lose the sale, what can you do?
I can win the sale.
I can win the sale. Obviously, there's going to be a different mental image.
I can change the way I'm presenting myself.
Yes.
I can change the way I'm proving value to the other guy.
Yes.
I mean, you can go into the detail of the sale at that point and say, what could be done in this situation? Because you can say to yourself, well, the guy only buys price, or the guy wouldn't, you know, just going to take a lowest price on the proposal, or the guy's not returning my phone call, and it becomes the guy's issue or the woman's issue. But if you tell yourself what you can do, it automatically becomes problem solving rather than problem complaining.
100%. 100%. I stop externalizing the causes for everything, and I look at what can I do now? What can I do tomorrow to take that possibility of the sale and turn it into a probability?
Mm-hmm.
And if I turn my pipeline into a series of probabilities, then we've got a legitimate conversation going. And it's a lot of it comes down to the quality of the language that we use internally and externally.
On the course, or in the course, you talk about someone who's focused on not losing their job.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Yes. So we start a translation, which is what our terminology is for making adjustments to the language. I can't lose my job. Okay, if I can't lose my job, well, let's look at the mental imagery. When I say that, what kind of picture do I make?
Not a good one.
Not a good one. It's me losing my job.
Picture of you losing your job.
Me losing my job.
Actually, I think you think fast forward on that. Like, I can't pay my mortgage. I can't make my car payment. My kid's going to have no food.
But that's a whole mental image, right?
It's a cascading effect.
Yeah.
And that is what happens when someone creates that worst case scenario. And then what happens? And then what happens? And then what happens? And if I create those series of pictures and mental movies, now let's talk about breath. So we've got all four pillars in. What happens to the way I breathe? I go into a stress response. I go into sympathetic nervous system response. And when I or you or anyone goes into sympathetic nervous system response, our breathing gets trapped in our upper chest. This, we do half of our business in professional environments, so sales training, leadership development, cultural development, and then performance athletics. In performance athletics, we gained traction because we connected the dots between what we think and say and how and where we breathe. And whether it's we're preparing for a yoga class or a competition of some sort, or I'm getting ready to deliver a TED talk or a presentation or a sales pitch. I mean, you all know this very well. If I'm breathing in my abdomen, then I'm going to sound different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The way we
fuller for sure.
Yes, fuller. Yes, fuller and real. It's much more easy for people to be considered professional and reliable and pro, put the pro in vocabulary, if they deliver their message, their presentation from a place of abdominal breathing, which is parasympathetic nervous system response.
This is totally cool. Jeffrey is back on the road giving public seminars. I love it. Jeffrey, you're in high demand, man. People are emailing asking when you're coming back, and you're back. If you've never been to Des Moines, now is the time to plan your visit. Jeffrey will be appearing live, delivering a seminar on leadership and a seminar on sales mastery on May 17th and May 18th. Go to cgittimer, seegittimer.com, and get your ticket. And while you're there, get one for your entire team. We'll see you there.
And if you're from New York City, Des Moines is in Iowa. When I'm setting up my sound check,
yes,
I tell the person in doing my AV, no bass. If the bass doesn't come from me,
right,
it's not going to come.
Right.
I can't fake bass. And so I make them only do high and medium tones in the soundboard, and then it's up to me to resonate with the audience.
It does every time.
And that's one of the reasons that you're in the position that you're not in the position that you're in. You've created the position that you're in.
I don't
Wow, that's so much more powerful.
Yes, and it's accurate.
Vocabulary.
It's accurate.
But I told you last night, I got lucky. I got, because I've had two throat operations, I was literally taught how to breathe and speak. And it's on an inhale and an exhale, and just let all the air out of your stomach through your vocal folds, as opposed to just speaking from here, and you can almost hear, feel your stomach just kind of tense up.
And I could see it in your shoulders when
exactly.
you do that.
We've all sat next to someone on a couch. Let's focus on our personal lives for a moment. We've all sat next to somebody on a couch somewhere where they're all tense and mm-hmm. tight for whatever reason.
That was high school, wasn't
that
it?
Was high school. No, I've got a very good story about this.
I'm sure you do.
This 3 months ago, on my last trip out to L.A., we're in New Jersey, flying to L.A., and a woman sits down next to me, about 30 years old, and she is furiously texting on her cell phone. As we're taking off, she's calling someone, and she says, "I think my phone is tapped. I'll call you when I get back, when we land." Click, hangs up. That's all I hear.
Phone is tapped?
She thinks, I think my phone is tapped.
Oh, my God.
And so I think to myself, well, that's fascinating. I pay attention at times to where she's breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most shallow breathing I've ever seen in a conscious person.
Mm-hmm.
She was taking sips of air and then sighs of relief. So I actually was getting worried. She would go and hold her breath a lot longer than that. She's mm-hmm. in a stress response. So if she's doing that with her breath, I know, generally speaking, what kind of conversation she's having with herself mm-hmm. to keep herself stressed. So,
Send her a link to your course?
We the last hour, it was a 4 hour flight. The last hour, I said, okay, I got my food out, and I said, "So you think your phone's tapped, right?" And she goes, "What did you say?" I said, "Your phone. You think it's tapped?" And she goes, "Oh my God, what do I do?" And then, sweet poor thing. And then we talked about strategies. She thought someone in her life was tracking her, and very likely the person was, because the phone was on his plan, and then you can mm-hmm. have those things. Yeah, exactly. The point why I bring that up is that whether it's a conversation that we're having, a thought process that we're having about someone in our personal lives or professional lives, if people think in a certain way and they speak in a certain way, unbeknownst to them, because it seems very real, they're trapping their breathing in their chest. And let's say that she's having that drama go on in her personal life, and she's flying out to L.A. to give a sales presentation. And the whole time she's just kept her breath in her upper chest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How is she going to do? She's going to sound like an amateur. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's
well,
going
she
to sound
will
like
come
an amateur.
In and fumble.
Plus,
fumble.
She's stuck yes. in her personal story yes. and not thinking about the customer.
And let's talk more about sales.
Well, hang on one second.
Yeah.
Her thought may not even be real.
Very inaccurate, because she concluded inaccurately.
Exactly.
She couldn't do anything about it, which is a stressful thought in and of itself. I had her write that down, and she's like, "No, wait a minute. I actually can do something about this." And first and foremost, could you get rid of your phone? I mean, if you had to, she could. She's going to stay with friends. I mean, she had options. Her language was blinding her out, was blinding her to those options.
Negative input or negative thought blocks creativity. I've written that for 20 years.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Because you get out of an argument, you walk down the road, and you go, "I should have said that to that guy."
Yeah.
And it's like 5 minutes later, and you're
We've
all clear
cooled
again.
Cooled down, and yeah. now you're thinking straight.
You know what else? Negative thinking and stress responses, and it's called coastal breathing or shallow breathing or labored breathing does. It also decreases someone's ability to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen someone drive in their car, and they get stressed out. Maybe they're late, and what do? They turn the volume down because they can't even hear themselves think, and they get all uptight mm-hmm. and up on the steering wheel. And how important is it, Jeffrey, to be able to listen, like really listen to what your prospect is saying?
So give us two tips. If you're a diehard out there, what do you do when you're stuck in that thought pattern?
Okay. Be more realistic when your shit hits your own fan.
Yep.
Write down the conversation that you are having in your mind in conversational English. Get it from your internal world to your external world on paper. Just that is the most reliable way to begin to dispel, which means to cast out, the negativity that we all create for ourselves when we speak and think in a certain way.
He doesn't want to say when shit hits your fan.
Right. But we do. Don't worry
about
it.
It's okay. We'll say it for you.
Yes. When shit hits the fan, get the conversation externalized on paper. And then it goes from something because, yes, it's the conversation, but it's also the repetition of the conversation. So how many times am I thinking about that negative thing?
I agree.
It's a feedback.
I totally agree. And the more you see the negative, the deeper it goes
down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. It goes down a rabbit hole. And now that that conversation, now that that thought process is out on a paper, out on a piece of paper, and it's got a definitive beginning and a definitive end, then I see it for more of what it is. I literally have created breathing room. I've created perspective. And then just a little bit of education about what words are inflaming my imagination and creating this stress, then I can make a couple of adjustments in my language and I get a better response from myself. So people that are into performance, this is a performance-enhancing tool.
So the challenge that you have is when you're in that negative zone, what can you define for yourself rather than blame other people for the circumstance? You take responsibility for it. You write it down. You look for your other choices, and you go, wait, let me take this path instead of that path.
Yes. You absolutely give yourself options. And to talk about negativity, how did you phrase it, Jeffrey? Negativity, it blocks creativity.
Yeah.
We've all had the experience of buying a new car or riding around in a new car, and then we start to see that car more and more out and about.
All of a sudden you see it everywhere.
All of a sudden you see it everywhere. You're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Where's this car
Everyone has
coming from? How did this happen?
They were always there.
They were always there. And what I've done is I've focused my attention onto that particular vehicle. And we have a piece of hardware in our brain. It's called the reticular activating system. And it is designed to find whatever it is programmed and whatever we deem necessary, whatever we focus on, whether it's a new car or it's the same way that people learn to see opportunities. Mm-hmm. Once we see opportunities, then we start to see other opportunities because our reticular activating system is now focused in on them. And if I'm looking for opportunities, I'm dismissing the negative situations, negative people. It's the same thing. If I'm looking for let's say BMW X5s, I start to see more and more of those around. What else am I not seeing?
Mm-hmm.
Blue trucks, green Suburbans.
Well, when I had my first MG, the sports car, it turns out that all MG owners wave to each other when they're going by.
Who knew?
Yeah, right. Until I got the car and I'm like, why is everybody waving at me? Oh, wait. That's like part of the deal.
Yeah.
And there was no internet that you could go to. There was no, you know, this was in the 60s.
That's so cool.
I'm waving at everybody all of a sudden. And I noticed there's hundreds of MGs out there.
Is it the same thing with proficient sellers?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. If you're
We hate each other.
We're successful people.
Yeah, maybe.
You nod. You want to be around them. Oh, you got an MG too? Tell me about when did you get that? And you've got an extra detail on that. Let me know more.
I'll bet you Tesla drivers do it. But I'll bet you Chevy drivers don't.
Jeep drivers do.
They do?
There's Jeep drivers.
People that have Jeeps, they wave.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're enthralled.
This is amazing. And so, Mark, you have been, and Adam have been so generous to offer our diehards a promotion on a little discount on on your course.
Yes.
I'm taking it. It's an incredible course, and it will change the way you think, and it will change the way you act. If you take it and you do it and you listen to it and you keep doing it, it's incredible. You should get it for yourself. You should get it for your team. Procabulary.org. Promo code sell or die.
Yep. Ooh. Go to courses.
All one word, sell or die.
All one word. It's not case sensitive. Go to procabulary.org. Go to courses. Watch the 3-minute promotional video. You'll get the distillation of what it is and all the things it'll help you with. And then the promotional code sell or die. And you'll get $100 off. It's a $299 course. And you'll get it for $199.
That's amazing.
And lifetime access to it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Here's the deal. It's very forward thinking. And if you want to be forward thinking about how you can change the negative things in your life to positive things in your life by yourself, then this is the option for you. If you are looking at this and going, what the hell is this going to do for me? Don't take it, because it's not
then
time
it's not
for you.
For
yet.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not time for
the
you.
The cool
yet.
Thing about the course is you break it down between this is what you will learn for your personal life, this is what you'll learn for your career, this is how you can use it in the workplace
yes.
versus at home. And it really makes you think about changing your words. I mean, there's certain words now that I've said in the past 24 hours that I'm like,
that are pissing
Whoa.
Me off. Right. Exactly. But here's the deal. For you real diehards, there's a sales slant to this course. They go out and talk about how this affects salespeople and customers. And when you take the course or when you buy the course, it will help you in your conversations to earn you money. This is a money-earning course, not a money-costing course. And I think you need to look at it that way.
I'd like to say one more thing about that.
Nope, time's up.
Most people's... They're the strategy that they're given, it sounds like this. Oh, just have a good attitude. Or
right.
Be
No, you
more
need to
positive.
Have a better attitude.
Yes. Okay, great. I totally understand that. Now where's the how? Where's the action steps? And now that we're talking about that part of the conversation, why have I scripted this crappy identity for myself? How did this happen? We go into the art and science of that in the course and give you a myriad of options of how to create a version of you
wow.
that kicks ass.
So my statement where I've asked people over the course of the last three seminars that I gave to, quote, define yourself.
Yes.
Take a moment and define yourself. Then I really have to take it deeper and change the language in it.
It is a binary negation, binary language. Very frequently, there is an opportunity to enhance what we think and say.
Take out the adverbs.
Yes.
Take out the wishy-washy descriptive words.
Yes.
And what I tell people is, what do you want your kids to say at your funeral? That's to define
there
yourself.
There you go.
Yeah. That makes it succinct because the kids don't know any better.
Well, very well
Mark,
said.
Mark, this has been amazing.
Yep.
Thank you.
Because you two are amazing.
No. You. Well, you're right, but we have to add you to
the
list.
We are, and you are also amazing. So thank you for coming on our show. And I'd love to have you back, I know Jeffrey would too, to talk about your goal-setting techniques, because what you are doing in that arena is just revolutionary, and no one's doing it. And we didn't even have time to get into that today. So.
Yeah.
Very happy to do that.
Cool.
Period.
Wear a different shirt so it's not the same day.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's not.
Oh. All right. Travel safe. Tell
Thank
Adam
you.
We
Thank
said hey.
You. Of course.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star on Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday. And another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off.